This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Isoborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
And welcome. This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show inside the HannityAutos.com studio alongside former Jacksonville Jaguar Marco Coleman. I am Matt Augustine, stepping in for Jay Gray this week, who is in London with the Jaguars, has been traveling and having a great time, drinking some warm pints. I'm very jealous of him for that. But this show is about you. I want to jump right into the callers here because Marco and I have been chatting for the past little while. 355-NFL-1. That's 1-800-355-NFL-1. 6351, the last four digits of that, translated from letters to numbers. Let's jump right into it. Jonathan from Tallahassee is on the line. Just wanted to talk about the loss. Jonathan, you're on.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good, Jonathan.
Well, I was hoping to get a win for my birthday, but I guess that didn't happen.
Oh, no.
You picked a tough one.
Well, happy birthday. It's a tough one to, yeah.
Yeah, tough game, a tough team to fall on your birthday.
Yeah.
So what did you think? How do you think they look today in the grand scheme of things?
Well, I would have liked to have seen a couple more touchdowns from Henny, but I think our offense still has a ways to go. I mean, we need to just continue to go to practice, and we just got to get better is the bottom line. And I think during the off season you'll see, I don't know how many moves, but I'm sure you'll see some key additions in the draft and all that stuff. Especially, I'm sure you'll see a quarterback at some point.
Well, and they got to have that. I mean, that's, you know, one of the biggest sort of things. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that, Jonathan. And, I mean, we know the quarterback hole is obviously huge. And, like, again, Brian said it over the course of the game, this rebuilding can't really start for this team until they have somebody who's under center there.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of upgrades needed. You know, you see how far they off, because it's all about getting to a Super Bowl. And what you saw over in Orlando, I mean, in London, they probably wish they were in Orlando the way that weather was over in London, was the Jaguars played against one of the teams that are considered, a matter of fact, they were in the Super Bowl last year, another Super Bowl contending team. And it's a really big difference between what you see on that San Francisco side of the ball and what you see with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, you know, Caldwell has his work cut out for him in getting that team to that status.
We'll see how he's able to do it. That Kevin's in McClenny, and he wants to look ahead to next year's draft. You got a kind of different way of looking at what you think they should be doing,
well,
Kevin.
I know this year's draft is rich in quarterbacks. But what about the offensive and defensive linemen? Because all the TV stations just focus on college quarterbacks.
Well, you know,
other question is, when can they start negotiating next year's contracts for Maurice Jones-Drew?
Well, you know, you figure with the college football right now, it's plenty of players out there, I think, defensively and offensively outside of quarterbacks. You know, of course, these darn quarterbacks, you know, I mean, I'm a little biased, freaking quarterbacks. You know, they always they make a big deal about the darn quarterback. But you're right, to your point, this is a team game. And even though they're going to bring a young quarterback in next year that, you know, we're all going to think, oh, he's going to, you know, do something to take the team to the next level, he still has to have blocking. He still has to have a tight end. Has to have a fullback. And you know what? You got to have somebody to stop the other team from scoring. So you figure along that front seven, there's a lot of needs. You figure there are enough quarterbacks in order to get a really good one, you know, in as far as up in those first few picks. But the rest of that draft, that front seven of the defense needs some major upgrades. And I'm not sure if you can do it with rookies, because one of the things you also have to understand, you just don't know what you're going to get with these rookies. There's been a lot of players that have gone out, been Heisman Trophy winners, but unable to perform on this level. So it's a big chance that you're taking. It's going to have to be some veterans brought in to help push this team. Because right now, this team, I don't even see an example within the defense or the team of a veteran that's bringing an attitude that you see with the San Francisco 49ers, you know, and that's what's needed, an attitude change.
James is in Gainesville. James, wanting to talk about the quarterback situation there. James.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are
this
ya?
One's easier to watch not driving back from the road or the game. But
you tuned in on the radio, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, no, I watched it. Plus, I was listening to the replay off the radio.
Okay.
Can't stand those guys on the network, man. They don't give us no respect.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, you got to earn it though, man. 0-8, it's hard to get somebody to respect you.
Well, that's true. But this is my question. Now we have a third string quarterback, and he's more athletic than Henny. We don't have nothing to lose at this point. Why not give him a shot, see what he got, and let's see what happens.
You know, I actually agree with you. We had the conversation a little earlier, not necessarily throwing Denard Robinson in there at quarterback, but utilizing his talents. We were watching the game get over. It was a live example right there in front of you what you should be taking advantage of as it pertains to him. Direct snap. Get an extra blocker in, take the quarterback out, and let him run to the perimeter. Not power running. They started out the game handing the ball, and they have been in the past since they've given him this running back title of trying to make him into a power running back, running in between the tackles. That's not what he does. That's not what he's made his, you know, what brought you to him as a college player. It was his electrifying plays in space. So perimeter plays, getting him some blocking so he can get moving and creating lanes. That's how you get him the ball. And you see, when you allow a great athlete that type of space, like Kaepernick, they're able to now let their athleticism make a big difference. You know, it's not even about throwing him the ball. You could do 38 rushes that that you saw for the 49ers. And, you know, and Kaepernick had 7 design runs. You know, maybe one time he ran because of the rush. The other 7, they were running plays for him. You know, and Denard Robinson, why not? You know, especially like you said, at this point of the year, you know you're getting rid of a quarterback. So why are you trying to make a quarterback win the game?
Well, and you said it, Marco, during the game. You were saying to me that Denard Robinson, while he can't throw the ball as well as Kaepernick, he's no slower than Kaepernick is. He can run just as fast as he can, and he's just as elusive. If you get him in space, you give him some side to side room to move back and forth and make those hard cuts and juke some players. You can, if you get him in space, you can make it happen. We've got Jim in Fruit Cove. He wants to know how many new players will we need to be a 500 team. Jim, how many do you think we need?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, I'm not a real student of the game, but I am a very disgusted Jaguar fan. And I've been here in rebuilding ever since Leftwich was here. I'm just, you know, running out of patience. I'm wondering, for us to be a 500 team, how many new faces do we need on the team?
I guess it's going to take it's going to take still a couple of years. I mean, next year, realistically, if the right – well, you know what, let me back up, okay? Because like you said, you know, we're going to look at this as a glass half full as opposed to half empty as it pertains to this season. We're midway through. Team is 0-8. And right now they got 8 more games. They got a chance to become 8-8 or 500 this year with no addition of the players. You talk about going to Tennessee. Matter of fact, let's just look at the first 8 games they played. Only 2 teams that they played had a losing record, okay? So you figure they played the best in the league with Kansas City Chiefs, Seahawks, Indianapolis, Denver, San Diego, San Francisco. It just don't get no better than that. Didn't have to go on the road and play those other teams. Tough sledding. But now when you come back after this bye week, every team that they play except for the Indianapolis Colts has a losing record. You see what I'm saying? You're not going up against coaches, head coaches now that have taken teams to Super Bowls. You're going to some guys that's just getting themselves started just like you are. You got guys, teams now that they need some upgrades on their roster, you know, also. So if we take the perspective that 8 games pretty much received what they were supposed to get because of the talent they're level they're playing, I think we can have a little bit more higher expectation of the team here in this last part of the schedule. Getting 8-0 this last 8 games, that's very possible for this team if they can just do the right things.
And, I mean, you know, it's definitely, in theory, they could go 500 here at this point. We appreciate the call there from Fruit Cove. We're going to take just a short break here. This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. It's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple Whiskeys. Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. You're listening to the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Marco Coleman, Matt Augustine will be right back here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back inside Everbank Field. This is the Jaguars the Scoreboard Show. It's all running together now from the HannanyaAutos.com studio I am Matt Augustine alongside Marco Coleman, former Jacksonville Jaguar. We are taking your calls, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351, or you can call 1-800-355-NFL-1. We'll jump back into callers here. We have Saqib calling in, who was bummed out that we couldn't even show up in London.
Saqib.
Hey, what's up, Marco?
Hey, you got it, buddy.
Hey, man. You know what's... Explain to me something. You played in NFL. When are these guys going to realize that getting beat by double digits, 20, 30 points plus every single game is ridiculous? When are these guys going to learn, say, dude, this is going to stop? They went down the field, just like Chargers did. I didn't call you guys last week. Every single time they went down the field, 80 yards and scored. When are these guys going to realize this is going to have to stop? And when is Gus Bradley going to tell them, dude, either you're going to play better or you will sit on the bench? I'm tired of this let's stay positive stuff when you're 0-8 right now, or 0-8, right? So when is it going to stop? Every other team in NFL is playing really good, even though when they don't have a winning record, they're playing close games, and we have lost every single game by double digits. When is this going to stop? I mean, come on, dude. Like, you know, I'm tired of... I'm okay with staying positive, but, dude, this is ridiculous.
Well, hey, what's going on? Well, Saqib, I feel your pain because it's been a while. These guys haven't won since November last year. November 25th last year was the last, in 2012, the last time the Jaguars won. And you figure last year, 2-14, a 5-11 team the year before. And it's tough, you know, but you have to still recognize this is a rebuilding situation. And it's not going to be until they do some things on the roster that you're going to see better results.
It's
to
not going to happen.
Significant results.
Either. It's not something that's just going to happen, unfortunately. As much as Jaguars fans who are just parched for a win at this point, it's not going to happen overnight. Even though, as much as you'd like to just be able to turn it around and come back out, and this is the kind of thing. And we've seen other franchises turn in other sports. I mean, you look at what the Tampa Bay Rays did several years ago. Mm-hmm. They were losing 105, 106 games a year, the laughingstock of the major leagues. And then in 2008, what do? They turn it around, they win the wild card, and they go all the way to the World Series. It can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. And, you know, but as far as what's going on right now, and like we were saying, they got 8 more games left in the season. You do have some veterans that need to show, and I think if they can't get something done over the course of these next 8 weeks, you know, Caldwell's got some very serious decisions to make as far as these guys that are here, especially up in that front seven. I can't leave that alone because you got, you know, Alawalu's in his 4th season, Miller 5th season, Poslesny 7, Babin 10th, Hayes 6th, and you talk about that San Francisco front that they had. Those guys are right there at the same end. These guys, they're you know, 5th, 6th rounders also that they went against in that running game, and they're just not good enough players. I mean, physically at the point of attack, these guys are getting, you know, they can't handle it, and you've seen it week after week against the very good teams. If you want to get the team to where it's going to be the type of a contender that you envision, I mean, if you're going to have veterans on a team, they have to be veterans that can present a presence, that have a dominating presence on the field, you know, that perform well. And these guys, you know, they haven't stood up to the test against the really high caliber teams to say, okay, hey, you guys are the veterans that we can actually look for to get us where we want to go. So, I mean, a significant overhaul is going to take place, I would think, in the offseason.
Terrence is on the north side. Terrence, your thoughts on the play calling here in this game? You're on with Marco.
Hey, Marco, Matt. Hey, guys. I want to say this. I'm looking at it. I know it's lack of talent, but on the defensive side, real quick, I just want to say it looks like somebody's setting the wrong defense. If these guys are not filling their gaps, or they're calling the wrong defensive setup. But on the offensive side, it's evident to me that it is. A couple of plays where they went a couple of possessions. I think it was the second possession that we had. They went, gave the ball to Mojo, he got a yard. They went right back and ran the ball and got one more yard. It was left with 3rd and 8. They did that a couple of times. Instead of what I thought they should have passed the ball on those downs, because you keep getting stuck in long, third and long on those possessions, and it just, to me, it's play calling. They're not. He's not giving the guy, giving Chad room to be successful in a couple of those possessions. I mean, I don't know if Chad can check out of those plays, but that's ridiculous to keep them back on one play, getting a yard, and the second play, you're going to try to run it again and get stuffed. Yeah. So I just want to get y'all guys' take on that.
Well, you know, we mentioned a little bit earlier, is there are some things schematically, offensively and defensively, they need to get better at. And on the defense, you know, considering your personnel, you got to do some things that's not going to be so vanilla. I mean, it's just too easy for other offenses like San Diego that's able to monotony, just take the ball down the field real easy. Same thing with San Francisco. It's just they recognize these holes, the coverages. There's always open spaces with the coverages. You're not getting a pass rush. You're not blitzing anybody. It's just too easy, you know, for those opposing offensive coordinators right now. And then offensively, you know, it's a lot of the same thing. You know, you're trying to do things with a personnel that can't get that accomplished. You don't have the type of offensive line that can just line up and let's just run power running games. And when you have a player on the sideline that has the ability to allow you to do perimeter plays, you have that type of speed with Brown, with with A. Sanders and with Denard Robinson. You know, we all had envisioned this electrifying speed that they had on offense to really show up and be fun to watch. It's not fun to watch. You know, you're not getting the balls into the hands of those guys the way that you should. You know, so schematically, I have to agree. They're not doing the things to give those guys a chance, you know, especially against these tough teams. It's been tough.
Well, and being vanilla, you know, it's like with a team like the Jaguars who are already limited, so limited offensively, that already makes it easy to game plan against. When you're coming out and you know, running some of these plays that aren't maybe schematically as creative as you could be or as you'd like to be, it can definitely limit what you're able to do on offense. 355-NFL-1, the number to call, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Got a few more callers here waiting, and we'll get to you when we come back. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351 here on the Jaguars Scoreboard Show, which is brought to you by PRI Productions. Marco and I will be back momentarily from Everbank Field here on the Jaguars Scoreboard Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
42-10 is your final from Wembley Stadium in London. The San Francisco 49ers routing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who fall to 0-8 now. Come back to Jacksonville for their bye week. Thank you for joining us on the Jaguars Scoreboard Show at Everbank Field from the HannityAutos.com studio. Marco Coleman, former Jacksonville Jaguar, here with me. I'm Matt Augustine in for Jay Gray today. And we're going to jump right back into the callers here. We've got Chris in Ponte Vedra talking about some offensive changes that he thinks we need to make. Having a little trouble with the button here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and, I suppose, jump over to Thomas, who's on the west side. Thomas.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mm-hmm. Good, sir.
Hey, Marco, I understand, you know, whenever you say the thing about the, you know, us rebuilding and things like that, but there's some things as grown men you can see, and I think Gus Bradley hit the nail on the head last week, and then he recanted his statement about effort, because there's just some stuff, I mean, like the defensive line, just getting pushed around and pushed out of plays and not in it, I mean, to me, it's completely ridiculous. When veteran players along that defensive line have more days off than they have tackles, that's just a huge joke to me. I mean, the offense, it is what it is. I mean, it hasn't changed since, you know, we've had Blaine Gabbert. So that, to me, that's just like picking low-hanging fruit. But the defense, that's an absolute joke. We can't even stop plays, you know, run plays and things like that. Guys, they could just run the ball down our throats. And that was evident in the Rams game. You know, we got Roy Miller from Tampa Bay, who they said was going to be a run stuffer to replace Terrence Knighton. He's been a complete joke. I mean, it's like he's just collecting a paycheck. But I don't know. It's very frustrating to watch and hearing, you know, the same old positive speech that we've been hearing since, you know, Del Rio was there is really what's getting frustrating. I mean, I can take a loss and the rebuilding excuse, but when you see zero effort from guys, you know, on defense where you need it, that's the frustrating thing to watch. And I appreciate you guys taking my call.
My man. Well, you know, I have to agree with you as it pertains to the ability up front for them to stop things, stop people. You're right. Roy Miller has not been able to. We pointed out during the course of the game. It's not just this game.
Yeah, his back turned all, to the play on one,
yeah,
one play.
Yeah, all season
there.
Long he's been getting manhandled. And it's not so much of the effort. You know, to be quite honest, those guys were just better. In this game, it's all about imposing your will on your opponent. And the Jaguars just up front, not just the defensive linemen, I include those linebackers also, just don't have the ability to win those matchups more often. They match up with guys and they just can't win. They don't win enough individual battles. And again, we've said that's a veteran group right there. We're not talking about a bunch of rookies. You know, Babin 10 years in the league, and Derek Marks in his fifth season. These guys, Roy Miller in his sixth or seventh season. At this point in time, you got to hold up and stop somebody. You got to win those individuals. Because it boils down to that. It's 11 on 11. So how many individual battles can we win? If you're not winning many, then the result is going to be 220 yards rushing for the other team. You know what I mean? And it is a physical thing. It's not so much an effort. I mean, like Branch, for instance. I saw Branch run down the field on several occasions and get into plays. These big runs, Branch was still hustling down the field, and getting in. Now, he didn't do a whole lot on the point of attack, so when you talk about effort, that wasn't a lack of effort on his part. Because he ran, 15 yards down the field, and he was getting in on that play. I made a note of that he hustled. He was around the ball when he was out there. But it's just the winning the battle at the point of attack. 15 yards later, yeah, you get an attaboy for hustling, but shoot, we can't let him run 15 yards down the darn field. You know what I'm saying? So he was right. It's not effort. It's just you don't have guys that can win the one-on-one battles.
No, and you're not going to see that show up in the Lions score, but I'm sure, like you said, he got a pat on the back from Gus as he came back just for showing that heart. Because that's where it starts. That's where it starts, is showing that heart and showing the effort. 355-NFL-1, 355-6531, the number to call to get in touch with the program here. Marco Coleman, Matt Augustine talking Jaguars. They lose 42-10 in London. 1-800-355-NFL-1 as we jump over to Chris, who we tried to hit earlier in Ponte Vedra. Chris, you were talking about some graphic that you found kind of disgusting, I think, is the word you used.
Oh, well, it's another sign of disrespect for the Jaguars, because they were showing the old logo at least all during the first half whenever they showed the score each time they came up. But the funnier thing to me was my son called me from Chicago and was showing me. He said, "Dad, look at the way the flags are, when they're running those flags out on the field, they misspelled Jaguars." And I think that was even our own guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know if you saw that, Marco. Yeah,
I didn't see it, man.
They went in and spelled J-A-G, I think, A-U-R-S.
Wow.
Or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and they put it was all backwards. And then the graphics, of course, were showing the old logo, which, I guess is not that big a deal. But it was, this is Fox, National showing us. And then my son had to point that out to me from Chicago. I thought that was kind of funny. But when you go back to, now I agree with Saqib and Terrence and all these things with the play calling and the guys putting it out, but with all the ease that we talk about with effort and execution, maybe it's energy or whatever it is, there's all these ease. We don't have any of them, Marco. You can have three or four ease. It doesn't matter what it is. Execution, it's not even coming to me now, but these are these E's, and we don't seem to have any of them, and it's really getting hard to keep fighting this every year. I've already paid for my tickets since day one, so I'm going to be there, but it's very hard to keep hoping these guys are going to show me something. I got to admit, even last year's team with Malarkey showed a little bit more heart than I think these guys are showing. Gus Bradley's father died this past week. I thought these guys might pull something out for him, but there's no emotion. There's another one of your E's. No emotion.
Hold on. Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. All these E's. That's a sad thing. I feel very bad for Gus Bradley. This has been a tough week for him, but these guys couldn't pull out something for him? Show something?
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, man. I have to just say, it's halfway through. They're taking a break, and I have to at least acknowledge they did play some really tough teams. Gus Bradley, his first sledding as a head coach, had to go head-to-head with some of the best coaches, not just this season, that will go down in history as some of the best coaches that ever coached the game. And they prepared their teams, in that light. In this second half of the season, man, I will be a lot more critical I wouldn't give them as much of a pass with the teams that they're going to be facing. Tennessee Titans, you are going to Tennessee, but it's a 3-4 team, and it's a conference team. You got to go up there and play better. The Cardinals, a 3-4 team. They're winning right now, I believe, but, you know, they're going to come here. You got to go ahead and take care of business there. They're not a, you know, an elite team. The Texans, they've been struggling. You know, that's another opportunity. The Browns, you know, there's teams that are in the same similar position as the Jaguars that will be looking for them, to perform a lot better. Because you figure, you can say what you want. They saw the Chiefs the first game of the season with Andy Reid and eight Pro Bowlers. No, the Jaguars are not ready for that team. To go up to the Seahawks at their place and try to, you know, pull out a win, asking way too much for the Jaguars. Andrew Luck, they're in a different place, you know, the Indianapolis Colts. The Denver Broncos, San Diego, San Francisco. I mean, the Jaguars aren't even not close to even being mentioned with those teams at this point in time, where the phase of where they're taking the franchise. So, you know, you kind of got to, you know, you don't want to just accept losing and all those type of things, but the reality of a certain things that they are rebuilding this team, and they played against teams that aren't thinking about rebuilding. They're thinking about getting to the Super Bowl. So it's a different mindset on a lot of these teams that they play.
We're going to actually head to a quick break here coming up. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351 is the number to call. Mary and Sally, we're going to get to you as soon as we get back here on the Jaguars Scoreboard Show, which is brought to you by Butler Swiss Watches, Bueller Swiss Watches, I should say, company proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. We'll be right back. This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show from inside EverBank Field at the HananiaAutos.com studios. Alongside Marco Coleman, I'm Matt Augustine in for Jay Gray today. We're taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-NFL1. A 42-10 loss today, Marco, for the Jaguars. They go 0-8, and it's kind of a point in the season now where they'll come back. They have their bye week, and a pretty well-positioned bye week, I kind of think, just because it gives them the opportunity to come back and be like, okay, in a way, we can forget about the first half of the season. It's like it never happened. We have 8 games left. Mm-hmm. We can go .500. It is possible.
That's got to be the goal.
And it's got to be the goal. You got to look to win every one.
Yeah, maybe as soon as they get back, just have a big sign in the locker room, 8-0. Just put that up there, 8-0.
Everybody hits it on the
way
out.
You know what I mean? And everybody, you know, and start working towards that and developing an attitude. You know, you can see just in the faces, you know, when the camera's here in TV of the players on the San Francisco 49ers, the look, the attitude, their whole demeanor. It's completely different than what you see with the Jaguars. It doesn't have. There's no confidence. There's no attitude as towards we're coming to. I don't care who you are. We're going to come and we're going to play well. We're going to do some. And that type of stuff is established in training camp. You know, and I think, you know, when you have a young head coach, you don't have players on the team that already come in with that have experienced it. It's tough to develop that type of attitude, and it's not going to be until we get some more guys in with that. To be able to get that going, I think, for those younger players.
You can't stop being the underdog until you stop looking at yourself as one. We're going to Mary on the west side, and she wanted to talk a little bit about us talking about them lacking talent. Mary?
Yes, I'm from the west side, and I used to run on the track team way back in the 70s. Mm. First of all, our coaches were not our friends. We would go there in the afternoon. We had to do wind sprints. We had to run the 100 yards. We had to run high hurdles, low hurdles, jump in the high jump pit. We had to run cross country. We had to run through tires. Now, if you look at our team as a whole, we had one or two stars. The rest of our team, I'd say we're medium to mediocre, but we were a team. At the end of the year, out of Parker and Wolfson and Lee and Rebold and Reigns, somehow we would come in second for the county because our teams, our coaches made us work as a team. And even if you were on the D team, you better pull in some points. So, you know, the one on the A team, maybe they bring in 20 points. The one on the D team, they better bring in their 3 points. So I'm just saying, like you said, they don't seem to have any heart or soul. In the old time, the coaches were not your friend back then. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you for the
she
call.
She used to get it in on, out there on that track, huh?
Well, what's that's the relationship then? As a former player, I mean, she's kind of talking about, you know, in that. As a relationship with a coach, I mean, do you look at, you know, you hear your parents say all the time when you're a kid, I'm your father, I'm your mother, I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. I'm your coach, I'm not your friend. Is that how the players look at it as well?
Well, you know, it's about the coach being able to establish a little bit of both. You know, one, you have to demand that, one, you're going to respect me and the things that I want. The demands have to be perfectly clear as to what's going to take place. And then if you get things accomplished as I've asked you to do, yeah, you know, in professional sports, we can be friends now. Because you got to recognize as a coach, it's tough because your job hinges upon how well these guys do what you envision. So if as a coach, if you're not able to get these guys to do what you envision, or if your vision is a little vague or shady, you're going to be in trouble, you know, because a direct extension of yourself, it doesn't have any other way to be shown but through your players, you know what I mean? And so right now, the way things are going, to Gus Bradley's defense, he doesn't have all the best pieces to get that done. But at the same time, the attitude, the demeanor of the team, what they're doing, how they're playing, that's a reflection on the coach. I mean, you've seen teams in the past, I've made mention before, of these great coaches that come in and take teams in a rebuilding process that may lose a few games in the start, but you recognize the identity and what type of team it's going to be. You know what I mean? You know, you just understand. But right now, it's hard to say. You know, in the veterans that you've allowed to entrust it to kind of help develop that identity, they're nowhere to be found.
No, and I mean, I've you know, said it before this year, and you touched on it. You can't, the pieces aren't there, and you can't make you can't build a great house with crummy lumber.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta have a good foundation to start building a solid house.
Foundation is a little shaky.
And
right
now, that's exactly what they're missing. Sally's on the west side, talking a little bit more rebuilding. Sally.
Yes.
Hey, Sally.
Sally, you're there. Are you there, Sally?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
How's it going?
It's good. Okay, here's my question. I'm a big Jaguars fan, ticket season holder, the whole bit. And I get the whole we're rebuilding, be patient, that sort of thing. But what's the difference between the two teams that were worst in the league last year, us and Kansas City? They're 8-0, we're 0-8. What do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, this is no stab at Gus Bradley, and I'm sure he wouldn't take it as such, but Andy Reid, you're talking about a coach that has his resume displays NFC championship games, numerous, you know, and not just one here, one there, but he put them together for, you know, probably about a 5-year span, staying in that deal. He's taking the team to the Super Bowl, you know, and he has that, you know, he understands how to get it done. And then second, you've given him the tools, you know, in order to get it done. Alex Smith has the highest winning percentage of any quarterback in the league right now, including Peyton Manning, including Tom Brady over the past few years. You got pro bowlers as Ali, McCluster. I mean, you got a gang of pieces there in order to get that done. So all he had to come in and use his outstanding mind as a coach with the right tools to get it done. Now, vice versa, on the other hand, with Gus Bradley, one tough deal for him is just understanding how to be a head coach. It's his first time being a head coach in this league. He's a rookie himself. And then you give him a bag of goods to work with that, you know, he couldn't be put in a more tough situation. You didn't give him any players, and then for his first experience, he's got to deal with not having anything to put together what he envisions his team to be. You know, because it's right now, you know, for Gus Bradley, he has no tools in the toolbox. He got a wrench, you know, some servable things that can, you know, but he's running up against a couple of screws and nuts that he just don't have the right tools to put in there to make sure he gets those things looking. You know what I mean?
That's a good way to look at it, Marco. 355 NFL1, talking NFL toolboxes at 1-800-355-NFL1. Kenneth, you've been on the line for a little while. I meant to get to you earlier. I'm sorry, man. Kenneth's in downtown, wants to talk about mojo.
What's happening,
Kenneth?
I think this is more of a coaching type thing deal. Granted, we ain't got no tools in the toolbox, but one of the best tools we had, and this is, you know, he's finally healthy. why are we taking him out on third downs? And he's got hands and he can block. Maurice Jones-Drew. Why? Well, you know, you're not a coach. You played. You're a great player. I just want. No, I want questions answered. I'm just sort of commenting. And, yeah,
it's all good, Kenneth. I think I get your point, man. And as far as having the best player that you have offensively out there on the field as much as possible. A perfect example of that is, Frank Gore. He had 19 carries. Maurice had 19 carries and receptions. I would have to say this game, Maurice was pretty active. 6 carries, 6 receptions. But when you get in the red zone, 5 yards from scoring, you don't give Maurice Jones-Drew an opportunity to get that done. Numerous opportunities. If you got 4 tries, Maurice Jones-Drew was going to get 3 of those tries. And you have to look at it that way. But that's not the mindset of the team. You figure, again, I can't help but to go look at, San Francisco, because they are right now, until 2 more teams go to the Super Bowl, the epitome of what you're looking for in a football team. They have a mindset, man, that we're going to come here, and because of the way that the plays that we call, we're going to help you understand that we came to beat you up and push you around. And that's running the ball, keep on running it, quarterback running it, even in physical wide receivers. You figure their wide receivers were blocking viciously, and so it spread across the whole team. And when you have a player like Maurice Jones-Drew and you get him down to the 5-yard line, he is the kind of player that you can use to give you that type of identity, which he has done. You figure when Del Rio was here, he had some issues with the team, but you knew that those teams were coming to hit you in your mouth. Because why? Because Maurice Jones-Drew was going to get the ball, and I don't care if you had 8-9 guys in the block, he was going to pick up some yardage. You're not seeing that right now. And I think that the opportunities, and then schematically doing it to where he can get that accomplished, is a combination of how it needs to get handled. But in those crucial moments, you got to give him the ball. He got you all the way down there.
Why not? He's going to be your.
He's
got to be your guy. He's the moneymaker. He's got to be your guy. 355-NFL-1, the number to call. Paul, Dean, Mary, we're going to get to you guys. Hang on. We'll try to get to you just as we get back. This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. You're listening to the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Marco Coleman, Matt Augustine here on the Jaguars Radio Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Everbank Field, specifically the HannityAutos.com studios. Across the table from me, Marco Coleman, former Jacksonville Jaguar and all-around defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah.
Played here and there. A couple of different teams.
Yeah.
But most notably a Jaguar. That's why we love him. And this is the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1, 1-800-355-6351. I want to jump right to Paul here because unlike many of the other callers that we've had, Paul actually wants to talk about some positives today. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How about yourselves?
Doing great.
All right.
All right, so here's the thing. Are you guys a fan of football cliches?
I try to stay away from them, to be honest
with you. I do, too, as a radio broadcaster.
But you can't help but to use them.
We try to stay away from cliches.
All right, well, I'm sure you've heard this one. So we can learn more in a loss than we can in a win.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, our coaches have to be geniuses by now. And
if you operate off that,
I mean, they've got to be like Nostradamus or something. In any event, we knew going in this team was low on talent to be nice about it. And it took us years to get where we are. And they're in the process of turning over the roster. And so by getting rid of what, where we are, and with the record that we have, I think we are learning something. We're learning who we're going to go forward with and who we're not.
Yeah, and you figure that's what this season primarily was all about. Who are the guys we can count on, and what guys are serviceable, going on for the future. This is what it was about, evaluating the talent that was, that's here. And I agree with him. If you go with that cliche and that analogy, as far as with the losing and making, getting more out of it, You're right. And we'll be able to know if they took advantage of all that knowledge that they obtained over the past 8 weeks, these next 8 weeks, because they're going to have some teams that aren't like a lot of the teams that they faced in the first 8 weeks of the season.
Do you see a fire sale happening in the offseason, Marco?
I don't know what about a fire sale, because most of the guys that they have, nobody wants to buy. You know what I mean? We might be I don't know. Yeah, you know, you say a garage sale, like they'll sit out and put them all out there. I don't know, man. They definitely need some upgrades. You know, you have a lot of guys that I would say primarily are role players. They have to find some guys that come in that demand, that want the spotlight, that aren't afraid of it, that want to stand up and be the reason why a team wins, and which I think most of these guys, you know, on the team, they would like to also, but they don't have the ability. You also have to have that combination of the attitude and the wherewithal to get that done. And it's one thing to think like a champion, but do you have the ability to be a champion? And that's a little something that's in question right now with quite a few of the players they have on the roster.
Dean's in Middleburg talking a little bit about a lack of performance today. Dean, what's going on?
Well, yeah, and it kind of goes along with the track coach. For the record, I hated mine, but he eked out every ounce of talent I had for a sub-5-minute mile. And, I mean, God rest his soul, but he got the most out of me. I didn't want him coming across that cross-country thing saying, hey, you're not giving out effort. It was embarrassing. I just think that the team, he does like the talent, but I think there's some on the team that are going to weed themselves out that aren't really trying. Marco, the real reason we love you is because your dance moves. Your
breakdancing,
all that good stuff. And I'll tell you what, when you go home today, I want you to look up Boogie Down Bronx. I want you to bust out some uprocks.
You want to get the pop locking, huh? Maybe I'll come out. What I'll do is to get the fans to come. You know, I'll be the pregame or halftime show, man. You throw on some electric boogaloo, and I just go ahead, throw in a nylon suit, get the spinning, man, and the pop
that.
Locking.
I'd pay to see that.
Yeah.
All you homeboys are fighters. Whoa!
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate the call. Man, we've got and then Mike. We're going to go to, I guess, Mike in Mandarin to talk a little bit about veterans, and we've been touching on that over the course of the day, definitely. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hey, just really quickly here, like you were kind of just mentioning, do you think Kyle will get ahead of himself by getting rid of, say, C.J. Mosley, getting rid of Pop Rose, getting rid of Monto Owens, and now you've got, you know, send Derek Marks? These guys that really haven't performed, I don't think, at a great level. Do you think Caldwell kind of should have maybe just kind of second-guessing what he did in the offseason by releasing some of those veterans? And I'll take some of your comments off the air. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you know, he didn't have a whole lot of time, I don't think. You know, you figure he got the job in February 2012. So those guys that were, I think he had a big concentration on the draft, you know, because it was coming up very fast. Then they had to pick, you know, let me slow down. They didn't have a head coach yet. So, you know, they picked him up. And then just a couple weeks later, he's focusing on a coach to hire, got to get his staff together, and he backed up against the draft. So I think it was more of the players that they knew a lot more about. They had the time to evaluate. I don't think they had the time to evaluate a lot of those guys, and their contracts were up already. So instead of trying to, you know, bring those guys back, you know, they went after some their own guys. But, yeah, guys like – I would say two in particular that you probably could have been – change the what's going on with this team, and that's Daryl Smith and Greg Jones. I think of all the players that they did allow to leave, these are two guys that, you know, help bring that attitude that you saw with the San Francisco 49ers, the type of veterans that you need on the team that not only with their play, you know, their work, the way they go about things, could help the young guys understand how to get it done in this league. I mean, you know, without Greg Jones, I think that's a significant part of why Maurice Jones is not doing as well. This is the guy that was lead blocking for him when he put up all those yards. He's gone. Defoe is not as good a blocker, and he doesn't see things as well as Maurice. And also on the special teams, Greg's a better special teams player. And that linebacker, you don't have a linebacker that's a playmaker. You know, Daryl Smith was a playmaker.
Yeah, Poslusny maybe, you know, I would say if there's one, but it depends on which one you get, which Paul Poslusny you get.
Poslusny is a good linebacker. You know, I think he is a guy to have on the team, but he needs to be surrounded with some more outstanding players. I'm talking about guys that, when we talked earlier, to win one-on-one battles on a consistent basis. Greg Jones, Daryl Smith are guys that you're going to get 90% or better win rate against individual battles. Poslusny, 75, 60 maybe.
Really? You give him that little?
Yeah, man, because you saw it.
I did. That's true. Yeah, you're right. 221
yards rushing. 221 yards rushing. They gave up coming to the game, giving up 153 a game. And that's the linebackers and the defensive linemen. Don't tell me about this in the pros, this team defense. Nah, those corners, they're running off. Safety's looking about the play game. Maybe the safety. Cyprian, as a rookie, I'm not even going to throw him in there because he's a rookie. It's those seven guys that have been playing: Russell Allen, Poznanski, Hayes, Miller, Babin, Marks. Well, Mincy finally came back. And then Alualu not giving you nothing.
355 NFL. Oh, I was just about to go to Tom on line five. Unfortunately, he just dropped out. So then we, I guess, look ahead here. We're going to, I guess, just kind of wrap up and then looking forward. Again, you got that bye week coming up, and now it's just kind of regroup, refresh, move forward, re-energize, spend some extra time in the weight room this week.
Glass half full. Not half empty.
Could be an 8-8 team. Could still be an 8-8
team.
There
we go.
Yeah. Want to thank Ed Rocco and Linda Fortunato, our fantastic folks here in the room. Could not do this show without them. Obviously, thank you, Marco, for working with me on my first show here.
Enjoyed
hopefully, I'll be
it,
able
man.
To
Enjoyed it, my
come
man.
Back and do it again. Appreciate you all tuning in. This has been the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. They fall 42-10 in London. The first of four games over the next four seasons in London for them. So a few positives to look at today. They'll try to regroup and come back after the bye week in week 10. For Marco Coleman, Ed Rocco, and Linda Fortunato, I'm Matt Augustine. Good night.